Joining us on the phone lines, the head baseball coach of the Brooks High School Lions, Jacob Fowler, heading to state, one of two baseball teams we have here in the Shoals area, the Lions and the Mars Hill Panthers, who were actually playing earlier today. And Coach Fowler, always good to have you on the program, buddy. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, Jordan. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well. And I got to be out there for your game three. I was actually out there for all three games. A roller coaster of emotions, which is not a way that I like to describe things, but there's nothing else that comes to mind. Just talk about that three-game series as a whole. What was your mindset? What was your guys' mindset?
Felt really good about the matchup going in. Felt really good about the plan that we had and how our guys prepared for it. And like you said, I think roller coaster of emotions may have been an understatement. You win game one, 7-1. You feel really good. Then you come in game two and you're winning 4-0. And you get two strikes and two outs in the seventh inning and you're still up 4-0. And then, like you said, you know, we end up falling 5-4 on a walk-off bang-bang play at the plate. And, you know, you go from a high and a really good feeling to really quickly you get a low feeling. And I've told quite a few people that that's probably the lowest point in a coach's career and also the hardest loss as a coach that I think I've ever been experienced. And I think the players say the same thing from their end. But our guys did a really good job of regrouping over the next 24 hours. And even after that game on Wednesday, there was a look in their eyes and we were wanting to get back out there and play that game three and ready to do it. And our guys did a really good job of handling the weather and then coming out on Friday just absolutely locked in. And got a couple special performances from a couple of guys, and but a total team win, total team series win, and can't thank the town of Killen enough. That was a fun atmosphere for three games, and that is what playoff baseball is supposed to be like. And we're hoping that we have that same crowd that follows us down this week.
Did you address game two with your guys after the game, before the game, game three? How did you handle that with them?
We did. We talked after game two. Obviously, emotions are still really raw, and a lot of disappointment and a lot of anger in our group. And we kind of addressed that a little bit after the game and told them that was, you know, it's a natural feeling and that it's something they're going to have to overcome. And then we have a day where we come in, we get some things done on the field as far as getting some water off. And really, they didn't get to do any work on baseball that day, but it was another day to kind of talk to them and regroup them a little bit. And then before game three on Friday, we came in, pulled the tarp early that morning, and it gave us a chance to talk and just kind of tell them what we want them to do. And our key to that whole series was, even in game three, it was just, hey, be us. Don't be anything that we're not. And our guys did a really good job of going out there, not trying to do too much, and just they've got everything they need right there in that one group. And so all they needed to do was go out there and be them, and it was going to take care of itself. And it's funny, you know, how things work out. And when you look at that series in game two, dealing with a loss, we have a chaplain that has been driving our bus, and he gives a talk to us before every round. And before this round, it was how to handle a loss. And it was, we were able to fall back on that. It was great timing and something that we hadn't experienced. You know, we had three tough rounds with three quality opponents and have been fortunate to sweep three rounds, and then we get to that one, and we've got to go to game three. But, again, our guys did a really good job of handling all that that came with it and did a good job of not getting caught up and putting pressure on themselves.
You think about redemption stories in sports, and to be frank, that's one of the reasons that we love sports so much. Obviously, a guy like Tiger Woods comes to mind. He went through all that he went through, comes back out on top. Probably the quickest turnaround in terms of redemption stories was game two, Lake Spurgeon coming in to close things down. And, look, if you know baseball, you know the final three outs are often the hardest three outs to get. Comes in, and I know he carries the weight of that performance on his shoulders, and he comes out in game three and may have had the best offensive game of his life. Talk about the redemption story of Lake Spurgeon, and what do you think led to that?
Lake is a competitor, and as you said, you know, he's on the mound there in games two and seventh inning when things kind of go haywire and end up giving up the lead. And like you said, the last three outs are hard to get, but I think the hardest out in all the sports and the hardest thing to accomplish in all the sports is to get out 21 in baseball in this case, or if you're playing nine, it's that last one. And again, that's the one that's the toughest one to get for whatever reason. And so Lake Lake was rough after the game. He was really disappointed, and he was pretty disappointed the next morning. I don't think he got much sleep, but like he told the paper, I think he said, you know, woke up the next morning, either had to be work that had to, that there was still work to be done, and he did a good job of refocusing. And Lake will be the first one to tell you he's been struggling at the plate. And we've been working hard over the last couple of weeks trying to get him fixed a little bit and back to the Lake of old. And you've seen flashes of it. And then he goes out there in game three, leads off the game with a single, scores first run of the game, comes up his next at bat, hits a three-run homer, an absolute no-doubter to right center. And then he comes up his next at bat and hits a two-run double down the first baseline. And so Lake had five RBIs and scored another run. So he was responsible with six of our seven runs on Friday. And, you know, you talk about a good turnaround story and a good comeback story. That's one right there. That's just a kid that's mentally tough, and it didn't let his past affect his future, and did a good job of going out there and living in the moment.
Now, Jacob, you've been around baseball and playing, coaching in various capacities for a long time. You told an excellent story after the ball game about – only two times in your career have you had a guy come and ask for the ball. The second was Carson Daniel for game three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the first time was game three in 2015. At Aniana, Tanner Graham, who's now pitching at UAB, came to me. He had, I think, an inning left. That's been back when it was innings limit, not pitch limits. He came to me and asked for the ball to close out game three and goes out there and gets the job done. And then we're standing on the mound fixing it after game two this past week, and Carson Daniel comes up, kind of puts his arm around me and tells me, hey, I want the ball in game three. Anytime that you see that and you see the look in a kid's eye like that, you know that as long as he can go out there and handle his emotions, he's going to be okay. And Carson did a good job over the next 2 days of keeping in that mindset. And Friday morning when he showed up, he said the same thing. So the look in his eye on Friday morning, and then just the way he handled himself, really made that an easy decision. The guy that hadn't started all year, he's been a reliever exclusively, thrown pretty good amount of innings. We've been spread out. And first start of the year, he goes six-plus innings, and I go out there to make the change in the seventh, and he's actually begging me to stay. He's at 90-something pitches and still had plenty that he could go as far as pitch limit. But for a guy that's been a reliever all year, that's getting stretched out pretty quick with some high-stress pitches. So, again, can't say enough about the performance of Carson Daniel, how proud I am of how he took the ball and went out there and just absolutely shut Hoke's Bluff down.
Talking with Jacob Fowler, the head baseball coach of the Brooks Lions. Now, Coach, safe to say this is the most controversial series against Hoke's Bluff that you've ever been a part of as a head coach?
I think that's a safe assumption to say that it's probably most highly contested and possibly the most controversial.
Here's what I want to ask, and I don't want you to reveal too much, but say what you want there. The play at the plate where Spurgeon comes in and the Hoke's Bluff catchers in the baseline didn't have the ball when Blake initially made or Lake initially made contact with him. I think Lake was running. And there was a small confrontation at home plate. What do you want to say about that moment?
Two highly competitive teams going at it. Emotions got a little high, and obviously there was a little tension that it was built up before game three, and that play at the plate happens, and both of us were trying to plead our case, and there were a couple things that were said, and I don't know that we'll be exchanging Christmas cards this year, but the umpires did a great job of handling that, I think one thing that our players know, and hopefully people are learning, is we're going to take up for each other out here. I'm going to take up for our players every chance that I get. And it's nice to see them. You know, you turn around in that situation, there's just a sea of orange that's standing there waiting. And so you know that you've got their back, but it's also nice to know that they've got yours. And so it was a fun series and highly contested. But like I said, I don't know that we'll be sending Christmas cards.
Now, obviously, Coach, this series against Hoke's Bluff runs deeper than just Brooks and Hoke's Bluff playing in the semis to see who goes to the state. This one had to feel special not only for you but the entire Fowler family. What did Warren say to you after you guys beat Hoke's Bluff to clinch a spot in the state championship series?
Hoke's Bluff's team has put them out over the last couple of years, and I think a lot of Warren and what they're doing at Wilson. And so obviously you got a little bit of family pride there, and you know, Warren was our probably, I think, our biggest cheerleader in the crowd that whole weekend, pulling for us hard. And, you know, you talk to him before the game, and obviously he's telling you to go win and all this stuff. And then after the game, when I finally got back to my phone about an hour and 15 minutes after the game ended, I think I had 63 text messages and 7 missed calls. And one of them was from him. And it was just a one-word text, and it just said proud. And so, you know, that's that one did mean a little bit extra, not only because you get to the state finals for the first time as a head coach, but also because, you know, you get to take care of some family business there.
Now, I know you took you and your team probably took around 24 hours, maybe the weekend, to celebrate this victory, and then it was back to work. And knowing you, it probably wasn't even 24 hours. What do you know about Sipsey Valley, the team that you've got best of three for the 4A Blue Map?
Yeah, I told our guys, hey, enjoy it tonight. We got work to do in the morning. I think that game ended, what, about 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
I think I was on the phone at about 7 that night trying to get ready for this coming week, but I did do a little bit of light work on Friday night. But the big thing in talking to a lot of veteran coaches that I respect that have been around this for a while and have been fortunate to make it and win it a few times, one of the things that they told me that night when I was talking to them, just kind of how to approach. That day was more of how to approach this week. One of the things they told me was to enjoy it and soak it in. And so they encouraged me to do that, and so I did. Take a little bit of a break and enjoy what we've accomplished to this point and the feeling for that night. And then woke up on Saturday morning, it was right back to work and finding out about Sipsey Valley. Sipsey Valley is a team that's really hot right now. You look at them, and their record's not that flashy, but you look at them in the playoffs, and they've defeated 2 defending state champions. They beat Andalusia, the defending 4A state champion, I think it was in round 2, and then this past week, they take down Mobile Christian, who last year won 3A, and they bumped up now to 4A. They beat them in game 3, so they're playing really hot. And then one of their other series wins is against Lamp, who arguably was the hottest team in the South going into the playoffs. And so when you look at that, you know that they're a quality team. They're playing really well right now. And talking to people around the state, trying to get some information, one word that seems to always come up is the word scrappy. And so those guys, they're not going to give anything away. They're going to fight for everything. And their pitching's pretty good. Their defense is really good. I think in Andalusia series, they turned anywhere from 7 to 10 double plays over the 3 games. And they're really athletic in the field. So we're going to have to do a good job of going up there and not trying to do too much and just string it together. And as we say, keep the line moving offensively. And then really in the playoffs in any series that you have, you've got a plan of attack, but the key on the defensive end is to make all the routine plays, and as pitching staff, don't give them any freebies, so we got to limit our walks and our hit by pitches.
Talking with Jacob Fowler, the head coach of the Brooks Lions, playing Sipsey Valley Wednesday at 7 p.m., game 1, and that one's going to be at Patterson Field. Games 2 and 3, if necessary, will be at Riverwalk Stadium on Thursday, and we'll pass the information along to you as I will be on the broadcast of of all those games along with Warren. So looking forward to those. Now, what I want to get into in the last few minutes we have together, Jacob, what does the beginning of this week look like for you, and what does Wednesday look like for you?
Beginning of this week is totally different. You know, one of the things I love about the playoffs is you get into a routine. So we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday practices that pretty much are the same throughout. We're working on different fundamentals and that kind of stuff each day. So, you know, you said I probably didn't get to enjoy it much. We were actually back up here with practice on Saturday. It was a normal Monday practice for us. And then we came in yesterday on Sunday to get our Tuesday practice in. And then today we're going to go under the lights. Monday's a day where we always do a night practice, so we're going to go under the lights. And it'll be our Wednesday practice where, again, we're working on fundamentals. And then tomorrow will be a normal Thursday. We're actually going to do it on the road. We're leaving early in the morning, about 9:30. And so we're going to get on the road. We're going to stop somewhere on the way and go through a 2-hour practice, and then we'll continue on our journey down to Montgomery. Get a little rest in the hotel room. We're probably going to go watch a game tomorrow night, either the 3A game at Patterson, or we may go over to Auburn and watch Auburn. I think they're playing UNA, actually.
Yep.
At 6 p.m. tomorrow night. So we'll go watch one of those 2 games, come back to the hotel, get some rest, and then Wednesday will be a normal game day for us as far as the routine that we do in the afternoon. The only thing that's going to be different is our guys aren't going to school, so we're still going to get them up, get them moving kind of early in the day, and let them get some breakfast in, and then just get them moving a little bit so they're not laying around all day, and hopefully go out there and take care of Stipsy Valley.
Last question I've got for you, Coach. Who are some of the coaches that have told you how to take on the state championship series? Who are some of the guys that you've talked to who have been there? And obviously they told you to enjoy it, make sure you soak in every minute. But who are some of the guys that you sort of leaned on as you get ready for the state championship series?
Now, and you look at the phone after the game, you got 63 text messages, and they're from coaches all over the state. And some of the ones I've talked to, one of the ones that's been the biggest help so far is Coach Ken Whittle at Trinity. He's actually the coach that beat us in 2015. And he has, over the last couple of days, he's just called just kind of to check in and see how everything's going and answer any questions I may have. And he's one of the first ones that told me to soak it in and enjoy it. He's a veteran coach, and he said, you know, when I was your age, I thought that, you know, I'd be getting there quite a bit. He said, and I didn't really enjoy that first one. But looking back, he said, you know, it's a special thing when you have a team that is able to get to this. So soak it in and enjoy it. But then you've also got Coach Chris Heaps at Russellville, who's been a sounding board for me and is willing to help. And Coach Jason Anderson, who had a good run at Shoals Christian, he's reached out and has kind of helped me with preparations for what to do this week coming up. And then Eli Fuller, who was an assistant at Russellville for a while, is now at Colbert County. He's done the same thing. Any kind of question I've got, he's willing to help. And so it's nice to have those guys that have been there before and been successful in all those trips to fall back on and kind of ask how they did it and maybe see some differences and take some of those things that they tell you to get ready to go down there and win a state championship.
Wednesday at 7 p.m., Warren Fowler and I will be on the call for that. I believe Thursday, games 2, and if necessary, games 3 are at 4 and 6. So you can catch all the Brooks Baseball State Championship pitch by pitch, call by call, on your sports leader, 97.9 Fox Sports Shoals. Coach Fowler, I think you know this. We're pulling for you guys. Anything that you need, you let us know. And, man, as always, hashtag's got to be Brooks by 40.
That's it. Hashtag Brooks by 40. So we're going to go down there, and we're going to get after it, and hopefully we're bringing a blue bat back to Killen for the first time, giving this town something it deserves.
Best of luck, Coach. Safe travels, and we will see you on Wednesday.
Appreciate it, Jordan.